Hi, it's good to be with you. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Well, biblical stories, it seems, are capturing the attention of Hollywood once again. Well, recent film like Noah and Exodus starring Hollywood heavyweights like Russell Crowe and Christian Bale have pulled in massive box office figures around the world. There's even a remake of the classical biblical epic Ben-Hur, which is due out in August this year.
And in cinemas at the moment is Risen, which is a film that tells the Easter story from a bit of a different perspective. In fact, the film starts where most Easter-related films end, at Jesus' resurrection.
Tribune, Pilate summons you.
The body has vanished.
His tomb is empty.
Where has he gone?
You tell me.
The story that unfolds is told through the eyes of a Roman tribune called Clavius, who is investigating the disappearance of Jesus' body.
I served the Roman Empire. I fought wars against those who did not believe in our gods. But nothing could prepare me for the truth that has now risen.
Natasha and I have both seen the film. I sometimes worry about these cinematic representations of the Bible. I just think it's really hard to do them well, but this is really good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I was as well. I really enjoyed it. They kept not doing the obvious thing and not going for the easy plot lines. So there were lots of things I found surprising.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought this film does really well is it picks up on the way the story is so astonishing in the claims that it makes. God is a person who dies and returns to life. I mean, you get a sense of the implausibility of that story, but also, I guess, the sort of compelling evidence of the claim told through this perspective of a bystander.
It's easy with ancient history especially. I think we can be a bit like, oh, well, miracles and resurrection and, you know, maybe they could believe that kind of thing then, or, you know, it's kind of almost the realm of myth and legend to us because it's so long ago. And this kind of brings it to life and shows how totally unbelievable, unacceptable it is for people at this time. It's quite a gritty film in terms of the presence of death and what that's like. And so people just know that it's impossible that Jesus would rise from the dead.
We're really pleased to have on the phone from the US the Risen screenwriter, Paul Aiello, and producer, Patrick Aiello. They also happen to be brothers. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I want to know where you got the idea from telling the story from this perspective, this particular perspective of the Roman soldier who's been told he has to find Jesus' body, and why go that way?
The original idea came from seeing the passion of the Christ, like many people. You know, it was a very grueling experience, and then at the very end of the film, after all the blood and the crucifixion, Christ stands in the tomb, resurrected, he's cleansed the blood, and he walks out into the world. And I thought, as I was sitting there, this is a story I want to tell. And we just saw the passion, and I want to tell the upside of it, the glory of it, right? Then when I got into it, and when I actually started digging into the scripture and looking for a way to tell the story, I realized that going back to the old days of Ben-Hur, the robe, it would be beneficial to use an outsider because it gave me the leeway to move around Jerusalem and try and weave the backstory of what was happening in between, because I figured the Christian audience coming to this, they would know the chapter and verse. But an outside audience looking at this, Clavius stands in for the spectator. He kind of, you know, allegorically, he stands in for modern man looking at this event that happened 2,000 years ago, because a lot of people have problems with it. And so that was the idea, was that by creating a fictional character and dropping him in the movie, we could move around and we could choose to show what we wanted. And more importantly, it would tell the story of transformation through this person, because ultimately the story is supposed to be inspirational and uplifting, and we could see it transform this one man.
The film's been described as a bit like a crime procedural. It's kind of a mix of biblical epic and CSI. Was that something that you, Paul, were deliberately tapping into with the script?
That was, and I'll let Patrick answer some of this. That was something that our director, Kevin Reynolds, really put his stamp on. Pat, why don't you speak to that?
Yeah, when Kevin read Paul's script, he wanted to put it into a genre that would be easy to assimilate and for people to embrace it on the story being fresh and told through a specific point of view. What he understood from Paul's script and Clavius being the lead character is he was investigating what was happening. He needed to solve the riddle, the mystery, the rumors, and that fit just organically into an investigative type of story.
So what was your research process like for this film? How much history and text could you use, and how much did you just have to, you know, make up?
The research process was unbelievable and very deep. So, I mean, I started with the Bible, of course, and I, you know, this whole movie takes place over the four Gospels, just over the course of five chapters total, and then into Acts. It's a very limited amount of time in the Bible, and the problem with this type of story is it's not told in a story format in the Bible. It just moves around. So I made a timeline. I charted where everything happens, on which day, which people were where, and that's how I started figuring out the story. And then that's kind of where the fictional character came from, because I realized the interesting thing would be not just to see what everybody already knows, but to show what was happening with these other characters when they weren't on screen in the Bible, so to speak. So when I wrote the first draft, it's all accurate. Everything we have in the film is accurate, but we didn't want to add anything that wasn't in the Bible, and that's what we did. We did not do that. We just showed the scenes that are in there, and, you know, so there's a lot of empty space in the Bible stories. So that's what we filled in with, showing what Caiaphas was doing, what Joseph of Arimathea was doing, because obviously these people had lives.
Well, I think you've done it really well, and there's a subtlety to this storytelling that's sometimes missing in this type of thing. So, you know, we were impressed by that. I wonder if you could talk about the story of Jesus for a person today. Why is this still an important story to tell?
Well, I think ultimately this is one of the most important stories in the culture of the world, because whether or not you believe in this person, this is his proof that he is supernatural, that he is the Christ, that he rose from the dead. He said he would do it. He did it. In the Bible, and many scholars have said for many years, the greatest proof that this occurred is the fact that the change it had on the disciples, who before this event were not the men they became after the event. And also the fact that Mary Magdalene, a woman, witnessed this event. If this was fictional, men would have written that men saw him. The fact that they put a woman there, she had no legal standing to claim anything. For the faithful, it's the cornerstone of the faith. For the non-faithful, it's something that everybody's heard about their entire lives. We celebrate this holiday. It's founded on this event, and I think it's misunderstood, because ultimately it means a lot of things to people. And it's not just the fact that Christ is who he said he was. It's also about transformation. We all strive to transform ourselves in some way. And here's the ultimate transformation, which in the movie has that effect on many different characters in the movie beyond Clavius. We see this transformation in Peter. We see it in Thomas. We see it in Mary Magdalene. That's what the film is about, really. That's why when you leave the theater, it was Kevin's decision to leave it like, we're not going to tell you what to believe with Clavius. And I thought that was a very smart decision, because we leave it, we know he's changed. We know his life is going to be different, but we're not telling you what to think or what to believe. And I think that's what we take away from the story. We're not trying to tell people what to think. It's like, this is what happened. Think what you will.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Paul and Patrick Aiello, writers and producers of the film Risen.
So one of the things I really enjoyed about the film was the representation of Jesus. Doing Jesus must be a big challenge for an actor, but also for movie makers. How did you kind of approach that challenge?
Casting Yeshua was critical. It would differentiate the film from the others that have ever shown Yeshua on screen. So we wanted to take our time with it and methodically looked at everyone in every country we could. We weren't specific as to nationality. I've always kept my eye on or have been attracted to the performances of Cliff Curtis, because he is what I consider a chameleon, if you will. And I called his manager, I checked his availability, and when Cliff heard about it on his own, something he's never done before, he called me. He called me on my Maltese cell phone and explained to me he was a Catholic growing up. And he got into the acting world in New Zealand to eventually, at some point, he always wanted to play what he considered a superhero in Jesus Christ. And it wasn't a pitch for him. He was sincere. We talked further. Cliff then took the role and the opportunity very seriously once he was offered the position and we closed the deal on him. Cliff actually took a vow of silence to keep his inner strength and to grow his inner strength. So when the camera was on, everything that he had built up in terms of keeping quiet and meditating and studying would exude onto the screen, and it worked. Off camera, He did not speak to anyone except the director. The disciples, of whom we handpicked and assembled, as well as Joseph Fiennes, Tom Felton, and Peter Firth, and especially Maria Bato, were all mesmerized by Cliff Curtis, the man, because in his method approach, he remained fully, entirely through his process of filming, which was extensive, as the character of Yeshua. So it was a wonderful experience to have brought him in. Now, we weren't sure how the world was going to accept that, but we found that we were valid in our thoughts of trying to break the mold, trying to do something authentic. In other words, we were doing what we felt was accurate and appropriate to the times and the of the people of that time and of that region. And it worked. It worked on the creative level, the performance level, and the acceptance of Cliff playing this role worldwide.
I want to ask you about the presence of death in this film, which is all around. At one point, a key character looks at a body and he says, well, we're all headed in that direction. I want to ask you about the way in which this story addresses the issue of death.
The scene you're referencing is Pontius Pilate talking to Joseph Fiennes, looking at that bloated body of 4 days being dead, saying, does it matter ultimately? We all are going to end up like that. The point of doing that throughout the film and showing the bodies rotting and being dug up and all this, we needed to differentiate and to bifurcate the film because there is a side of the film early on, which is Clavius' exploration and investigation, which has to do all about death. Find the body, dig up bodies. Their level of faith is limited. It's in darkness, and therefore you're dealing with death. Conversely, where the movie shifts gears and goes into the light, the glory, the hope, the faith, the resurrection, the redemption, the latter half of the movie is all about the contrary, which is to be alive, spring, Easter, rebirth. So early part of the film is certainly weighed down by darkness and death and what I call lack. The second part of the film is about abundance, life, rebirth, redemption, resurrection.
Patrick, I want to ask you, what's your sense of the public's reception of the film? So maybe especially people who aren't believers, how have they responded to it?
Well, it's a very good question. The target of the marketing publicity campaign was to the faith-driven consumer, if you will. It was made for them. That is our core. The hoped-for effect would be a word of mouth into what we call the somewhat religious and the non-religious, which primarily the movie is authentic to serve those audiences as well because, A, of its genre, B, because of the non-believer perspective, whereas Clavius is the everyman, not necessarily a faithful man. And our hope and intention was to cross over and bleed into the broad mass audience. What we're finding is our core audience, our target, has responded exceptionally well. You know, the online media, social media response has been through the roof, as best as we could hope for. This movie appeals to the broader audience based on the cast, the director, the genre, and also the execution. And as word filters out, as we all know, it's a crowded marketplace, so as word filters out, we are slowly bringing those folks to the theater. And since we're only through 2 weekends of release, our intention is to be in release wide, theatrically, domestic, and also the international rollout, all the way through Easter, which is still 4 weekends away. So we hope everyone goes, shares, talks about it, and goes.
Well, it's a wonderful film. Congratulations on the film, guys, and we do hope that it finds a wide audience. We think it deserves it. Thank you so much, Patrick and Paul, for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
That was Paul and Patrick Aiello, the screenwriter and producer of the new film Risen. If you're keen to catch the film, Risen is showing now. Check your local cinema listing for details. And for more information about the movie, go to www.risen-movie.com.
You've been listening to Life and Faith. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just type Center for Public Christianity in the search box to find us. While you're there, why not leave us a rating or review? We'd really appreciate that. Next week, we'll be looking at the place of religion in US politics. Join us then.